The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You know, before we do that, let me open this one.
Dude, so bossy today.
Let me...
He's such a bossy little bitch today.
Dude, can I... Fuck, are we recording? You heard Adam say that? Can I tell you guys something? I apologize if I'm being bossy. I'm in one of those... Yeah, I'm in one of those moods. I'm in one of those weird moods.
Yeah, I feel like you're on your period.
Do I have a lot of like...
Is it menstruating?
But it's not negative. I'm not being negative. It's like a...
Feisty.
Yeah. Why am I being feisty right
you're
now?
You're being a little bitch.
He's cutting in.
I'm being a bitch?
Everything. He's cutting in.
Why am I being a bitch?
Being a little bitch.
How am I being...
You're being bossy. You're telling everybody what to do.
Huh?
I'm doing this.
That means I'm assertive, a bitch.
No, I'm doing this.
Bitchy.
I'm doing that.
A bitch would probably say she's assertive too.
Huh?
If you called a bitch out, you'd probably be like, excuse me, I'm just assertive. You can't handle it.
Just what you call strong women.
Am I the only one that gets turned on by that, by the way?
Yeah.
An assertive bitchy person? I am the only one that gets turned on by that?
No. I like an assertive woman.
Oh. You do?
I like smart women.
I do.
So. Oh, yeah.
I definitely
Brains is sexy,
that's
period.
What is Eddie Murphy? I don't like when I'm salad-eating bitches. You know what I'm saying? I don't want someone that's all passive. No, it's okay. I'll just have a salad.
You know what the worst is? You know what the worst is? Like,
that's me when I go to
Mickey Mouse voice. Okay, hello.
Oh, my God.
It's like, bro. Get me out of here.
Bro, you almost did your, what's that dude, Gollum? That almost sounded like Gollum, your little Gollum voice that you do.
My precious.
All right, stop. Stop it. Stop it scaring me.
Scare Sal.
He gets all like scared.
Did you know that speaking of the high-pitched voice, that when a woman speaks to a man that she's attracted to, she will naturally raise her voice a little bit?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Fact.
No way.
This is a fact.
Gets like excited.
Mm-hmm.
This is true?
True, 100%. Just like when a man talks to a woman that he's really attracted to, he naturally lowers his voice.
Yeah.
This is true.
This is, get out of here.
Wow. This is true.
This is true?
Yes.
But then why is it like, you know, when you start to like see something funny, you go, ah! And you sound like a fucking hyena. Is it just me?
That's just you. That's just you,
yeah,
bro.
Listen to Adam laugh.
Yeah.
like
he's like Jabba the Hutt, dude.
Well, a low voice is a sign of testosterone. So, you know.
That's why.
You know. Yeah.
That's why we lay it on thick.
Okay, so you're meeting this girl the very first time. You're physically attracted to her. It's physical.
Your voice is going to want to be a little lower.
I'm going to talk lower.
Just
deeper
without you realizing it, you could pick it up with recording equipment. So it's not like exaggerated, but it'll be picked up. However, when women do it, it is a little stronger, and you can tell. You ever hear a woman like laugh and stuff around guys that are like, you know, real attractive, like maybe some celebrity guy or whatever, and you see a bunch of girls, they're always like, ah, oh my god, like that. Their voices climb.
They definitely give the courtesy laugh a lot.
The
more.
Voices climb, dude.
Okay, I can see.
This guy's not funny.
Here's how you know if a girl's attractive.
Where did
we
read this?
Huh?
Where did we read this?
I never
Cosmo.
Remember where I read it. Any of this.
I know. Fair enough.
Did I say read it? I don't remember where I read it. I like making up words.
Yeah. Starting this strong.
I did read it. It's just one of those things because men are attracted. Subconsciously, we're attracted to a little bit of a higher voice because it symbolizes fertility.
A higher voice symbolizes fertility.
Fertility,
really?
A little bit of higher voice.
I think you took some facts and you made some shit up.
I didn't.
I think you made some shit up.
Well, think about it this way:
like think immediately of ovaries and
really?
Think about it this way: why would you be attracted to that? There's an evolutionary purpose.
I knew you were going to get to it. Share it with me.
Well, that's the purpose. The purpose is that a little bit, a higher voice
means we're going to evolve
healthy,
better?
It signifies healthy estrogen levels and better fertility. But here's what I was going to say. If you want to know if a girl is attracted to you and you're a guy, pay attention to her voice. If her voice is a little higher when she talks to you,
she might like
and
you.
If her pupils dilate, if her pupils dilate a little bit, see, you have to get real close to see that, so that's kind of a tough one. But that means she's attractive. It means she thinks you're handsome. Her pupils
dilate. Or you could have something.
Or she's on drugs.
Yeah, or you could have something on her face and she's doing coke. It could be that too. Yeah.
She pets you, she's on Molly.
Either way, you're probably going to get some action. So
that's a good point.
It's all good.
Either way, things are looking up for you.
Yeah.
Hey, before we transition to the fitness portion of of Mind Pump, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. You can find Adam at Mind Pump Adam, and you can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin. Okay, so I have a subject I want to talk about.
Well, no, if you're going to do shameless plugs like that, I think we should shamelessly plug our program right now.
Which one?
The Maps Black.
The one that's ending?
Time, shamelessly yes. Plug time.
Well, we got to make sure this is going to air before the sale ends, before we say that.
It's going to air afterwards.
Yeah, we've been saying that it is? Every episode. Yes.
No, this is airing after the sale's over?
Yes.
So
but
you're
you can
fucked.
Still buy it. You can still buy it.
Well, Adam, you just...
Dun, dun, dun.
Why did you just do that?
You missed out.
You just... You know what you remind me of? But that you ever go into TO for a sales guy?
Yeah.
And you go in, and the sales guy says...
Fucks it up, right?
Just fucks it up.
Drops his pants right away. I'll give you 15% off of this. And we'll
Here's the manager. He's gonna give you
got there yet,
he's going to give you a month free pass.
Yeah.
You're like, you motherfucker.
So you see that barbecue? I'll totally get it for you.
So Adam's talking about Maps Aesthetic, which is now available at mindpumpmedia.com. A lot of great reviews so far, by the way, from the program. Pretty awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
On the topic. So I wanted to talk about... gut health. Now I know we've covered the micro.
I know you're sorry. Did you hear him? Yeah, get right. All defensive right away.
You're laughing at me.
I'm not laughing at it. I'm okay. Just, you know.
No, like, there's lots of people.
It's
that
just
hear
funny
about
that you like get so excited about
he
you
does.
Know, gut health. I don't know. It's good.
It's not that
it's,
different.
It's energy.
Sometimes I feel like I'm getting bullied. I swear
not
to God.
Not at all.
Not
I
at do. All.
I find it fascinating. To so be honest with you,
bro. You pushed me into the lockers yesterday.
I feel like each time we talk about this, I learn something new. So
seriously
I'm
though, yeah.
Well, the gut. So gut health. We've talked about the microbiome, which is your gut flora, which is a very important factor to gut health, but we need to go into depth with some of the things that the gut it's so important to have a healthy gut.
And yes,
gut,
we do.
And we're talking about everything from the you know your intestinal tract to your stomach. Why are those so important? Well, I'll give you a couple interesting statistics. A lot of people don't know this, and this is relatively new information, but the majority of the serotonin in your body is actually produced by the gut,
not the brain.
Right. Not by the brain.
That's crazy. Oh,
wow. By the gut.
We've been told it was a brain forever, right?
That's part of why they call it the second brain, right?
They call it the second brain, but in reality, in terms
might
of serotonin.
The first brain.
Yeah.
It's the
dominant brain.
You know what trips me out about this?
Yeah.
You know, when you have a good feeling, where do you feel it?
In your gut. I mean, it's an old saying, but it's so funny how
true
that is.
How fucking weird is that?
Yeah, it is weird.
How weird is that? You know what I mean? It's like we've known, but without knowing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's like intuition, but it's like all centered around
I have a gut feeling.
Gut. Yeah,
I have a gut fucking feeling.
Or like when people get nervous and stuff like that, they get nauseous or they get like they have stomach issues going on. Yeah. Or they get the butterflies because they're in love.
It's immediate feedback.
They're in love, so it's the butterflies in your stomach. Right.
So
what you're feeling.
So check this out.
Your culture.
So we know serotonin is a feel-good hormone. It's a love hormone. Antidepressant drugs target serotonin to try and increase circulating serotonin in the brain because it makes you feel better, and a lack of serotonin will make you feel depressed. Now, here's what's interesting. There is a very strong connection between depression, anxiety, and those kind of serotonin-related issues and gut problems. So if you take a room, if you take 100 people who are treated for clinical depression, a much higher percentage of them will have gut issues like poor digestion, inflammation in the gut, and stuff like that versus the regular population.
Hmm.
And, you know, antidepressants are notoriously ineffective for many cases. Now, in some cases, they are effective, but they don't have the greatest efficacy of drugs that we prescribe. And it may be because we're targeting the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking at the gut. And what's funny to me is looking back on the years now I've trained and been aware of gut health and worked on gut health with clients, how many of them became happier when their guts became healthy.
Well, I mean, as simple as like eating better, how much better you feel, you physically feel as a result of that. And that has to be, you know, partially just because of, you know, your gut is getting what it's craving in a sense, and also what you're promoting as far as like a healthy gut bacteria. So there's a lot of feedback that you get when you eat.
Well,
and if you're not paying attention to that, it's like, I feel like that's part of the whole like new wave that we're seeing now, that like people are starting to pay attention to that.
Well, the connection is so deep. It's so deep that it's beyond the, you know, I'm eating healthy, not eating healthy. You could eat healthy and have poor gut health because you may be eating the wrong foods for your body. Like, you know, for example, for me, if I were to eat dairy or egg whites, which are both healthy, you know, mm-hmm. full fat dairy is healthy, but I have intolerances to them, they'll give me poor health. Mm-hmm. And so it's more than just eating healthy. There's a lot more factors that go into it. But it's fascinating because you look at things like people with like Crohn's disease, which is massive inflammation of the gut, you know, the digestive system in the gut, right? High instance of depression. Now, in the past, people would say, well, obviously you're depressed, you're fighting a chronic disease. However, the rates of depression are much higher than people with other types of chronic disease that don't affect the gut. Theirs is a much higher level. And so it could be, and I'm making a speculation here, but they're investigating and studying this. It could be the gut, the fact that they have issues with the gut that's causing their depression and anxiety issues. Now, speaking from personal experience, years ago, I had a, you know, very bad irritable bowel syndrome where, you know, it was like borderline where I thought maybe I had, you know, some type of chronic autoimmune disorder like Crohn's. It was horrible. I lost lots of weight and, you know, and I felt at the time, I remember, of course, depressed, of course, you know, more anxiety. But I do remember my mind wasn't, I didn't feel like my old self with my mind. I felt paranoid, anxiety, you know, anxious. I was much more of a hypochondriac than, you know, I usually am. I remember specifically mental issues. And when I was in that state, it's very hard to recognize it because you're in it. You know what I mean? It's like playing a football game. You only see what's in front of you versus someone who's watching the whole game. So I didn't notice that I had some mental stuff that was following along with those gut issues that I had. And it was pretty scary. And it's funny because I identify these things in a lot of my clients. Now that as I'm learning this, I start to see these types of patterns in my clients. And when I hear people talking about anxiety, depression, or whatever, one of the first things I look at is their gut health. And I start asking them questions about, you know, how healthy their gut is.
I don't know if I'm more impressed with your knowledge on the gut or the fact that you just used a sport analogy with the gut.
And it worked.
And it did work.
I know. I was like, whoa.
I totally drew it. Went, yeah. I was like, whoa, that wasn't Justin who just said that. Sal just gave a gut football
analogy.
And it
was football.
It was.
That's like the holy grail of sports analogies.
You guys are making me blush.
I am super impressed right now.
Well, you know what they just discovered I believe it was last year that the lymphatic system goes all the way up to the brain. So up until last year, if you were to grab an anatomy book, 2014, 2013, whatever, mm-hmm. and you were to look at a picture of the lymphatic system, they would show it stopping at the neck.
Yep.
It did not go to the brain. But now, through, you know, some brilliant ways of you know, dissecting and looking and seeing, they found these vessels, and they're gonna have to change all these anatomy books. But the lymphatic system now goes to the brain, and so now you have a direct connection between the gut and the brain. Direct.
Yeah.
So when we talk about gut flora, you know, and let's keep in mind, by the way, the major factor of gut health is your gut flora. And when we're talking about serotonin production, without gut bacteria, gut flora, you wouldn't produce any serotonin. In fact, there's a lot of nutrients and stuff you wouldn't produce anyway that the gut flora is responsible for. There's actually certain nutrients that the bacteria in your gut produce that your body would require. If you don't have them there, then you don't produce these nutrients. You become deficient. But if your bacteria is off, it is sending chemical signals that travel through the lymphatic system, go directly to your fucking brain.
So really, we're just speaking on behalf of our bacteria.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's be honest. Well, I find it very fascinating how it changes. So, for example, like, and I can't explain it even. I just know that, like, when I change my diet dramatically, like, whether it's, you know, I decide I'm going to do this carb cycling thing, or I'm going to run ketogenic, or if I make these drastic changes of eliminating or minimizing a macronutrient that was maybe dominant in the diet before that, the transition period of when I first go through that, what I feel and what I notice, and then when I get used to whatever it is that I'm doing, and good and bad, You know, for example, like the ketogenic, when we went ketogenic and I cut out all the carbohydrates for that period, and then I decided to reintroduce them. The first time that I tried to reintroduce them, it was like, ugh. I mean, my stomach let me know right away, like, whoa, this is, we don't like this, or this doesn't feel good. And to me, it was like, holy shit, it wasn't even that many grams. It wasn't like I ate like a box of donuts and all of a sudden my stomach said, no, we don't like this. It was like, I don't even remember what the first thing I had, but it, you know, I had an amount that was, you know, between 50 and 100 grams of carbohydrates in one sitting, which wasn't crazy for me for a guy who ate 400 to 600, but more.
Well, what is that? I mean, there's definitely a transition period. Like, say you're somebody that eats fast food all the time, and then all of a sudden now you're eating broccoli and you're trying to like clean up your diet, and then, you know, they have like the worst gas on the planet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you look at, okay, so if you took somebody who ate lots of processed foods, sugars, okay, you took another person who ate a ketogenic diet, very high fat, low carbohydrate, moderate protein diet, and then you had somebody else who was a vegetarian or a vegan, and you were to examine their gut flora, you would find different profiles. And you could do this with huge swaths of people. You would see trends in all vegans. You would see trends in all people who eat keto. You would see trends in people who had... who ate lots of fast food, and that they would have a particular type of internal gut flora. Now, we don't know yet, okay? We do know that there's some gut flora that if you supplement with, they're good for you, and other ones that are bad. So probiotics, they just throw those in. But we don't know what the best profile is for what. It's still an emerging science, which is exciting for me because there's so much to learn there. But my point is, if you change your diet, your body's internal gut flora will change along with it. Okay, and this is something you could take advantage of. If you eat healthy, okay, if you follow the tenets of healthy food, you know, whole or, you know, natural foods, and you eat, you know, a good variety, you're gonna have a more healthy and better variety of gut flora. And if you decide to make a drastic change in your diet, you're probably better off doing it over time. For example, Adam, you were talking about how you went keto and then you tried to, you know, have 150 gram carb meal or 200 gram carb meal. It was too quick.
Yeah.
It was too quick because your gut flora had changed, because to break down the fats and, you know, utilize the nutrients from the fats in your diet. And now they have to go, and all of a sudden there's all these starches. And so you're going to have some problems.
Yeah. It has to be able to transition into now processing that, you know, on that level. So yeah, that makes perfect sense. If you're, you know, all of a sudden introducing another group of food, it's going to drastically sort of like put a halt to everything as far as like your metabolic system is concerned, and then like have everybody, now we have to reprioritize how we're going to work this out.
Yes. And when it comes to you know, a healthy gut, you know, variety is very important. But before variety, and I want to be clear, because I don't want people to go out and just eat a bunch of different variety. Rule number one is you can't eat foods that you have intolerances to. Foods that cause inflammation in your stomach, gas, too much gas, pain, cramps. If your stool is off.
Diarrhea.
Yeah, you get, you know, constipation, diarrhea, that kind of stuff. Stay away from those foods first. Don't just throw them in because it's variety. But once you have all those kinds of foods eliminated, then it is a good idea to throw in some variety. I've talked about this many times, and this is one of the reasons why I incorporate a low protein vegan day, you know, once every other week, or sometimes even once a week. I do this purposely to kind of encourage the, you know, my gut flora to be a little bit more, you know, diverse. Right. And then of course, within the macros that I eat, I also tried, you know, there's going to be days, because I do eat lots of fats, and sometimes I eat lots of avocados. Other times it'll be lots of coconut fats. Other times it'll be lots of olive oil, and I'll have my fish, because I'm trying to encourage the growth of a nice diverse gut flora that's going to be very healthy for me, alongside the nutrients and stuff that you get from those kinds of foods. So think about how bad it may be in that case to eat the same food all the time.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're constantly eating the same food all the time. You're encouraging a particular type of gut flora. Well,
there also has to be a correlation between like your immune system then at that point, right? If you're just always eating the same nutrients, and you're probably deficient because you haven't introduced a lot of diversity in your diet, that you're actually going to get a lot of different benefits from. So micronutrients and macronutrients. So, you know, these are things to consider as far as like, you know, your body as a whole.
Well, somebody recently asked, I think it was the forum, was it the forum or Q&A? I don't remember what it was. We got asked about my diet and prep, if it would change, you know, with the whole six meal eating, because we talk shit about this and that. And the problem that all of us have with that, and I still have with that, is it's the food choices that you pick within those six meals. There's nothing wrong with eating six meals. If you want to eat six meals a day, if that works for you. But the rotation of the food in there is very important. And I've always done that. I think it's always been important to, you know, rotate the foods. And when you look at your meals on a weekly basis, you know, you definitely do not want to be eating the same things over and over and over. Otherwise, like you said, you're not only going to be deficient, but then you start to change that ecosystem just for that. So anything outside of that, I mean, Justin talks a lot of performance. You talk a lot of overall health. I, of course, am always Mr. Aesthetic guy. I find it very fascinating to me how now my body is responding differently to carbohydrates, which I believe is stemming all from the gut and how my gut processes it. Because from a guy who was eating 400-600 grams of carbs, you know, I could eat 100 grams of carbs and not feel all filled out, you know, mm-hmm. if that makes sense, right? I didn't feel my muscle bellies all full, and I couldn't see that from just 100 to 150 grams of carbs. It would take 300-400. I'd have to load way up, and then I would see myself all filled out, and my skin would be tight, my muscle bellies would be all puffed out. Now, because I've now changed my eating profile and what I think have changed my gut flora, you know, the way my body responds now to carbohydrates, I have 50 to 100, and it's crazy. It's mm-hmm. crazy how what a difference. Now it feels like, or it makes my body look like I just had 400 grams of carbohydrates. So I find
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's very
fascinating.
It's very fascinating, very interesting. Because and why it's so glaring for me, because this was a big issue when I was competing. You know, and peak week is one of the hardest things for, you know, all competitors, is to time your best look. When you get to the point where you're 2% body fat and you're presenting your physique on stage, every little bit makes a big difference, you know, because it is. It's the slightest bit of change of illusion that you can create by the way you look.
You could be flat, or you could be more filled up.
Yes.
Or, yeah, whatever. It's a totally different look.
Yeah, and we don't talk a lot about that on Mind Pump, because that really doesn't matter when you're trying to get an overall shape or build right. muscle.
No, it's a short term.
It is a very short term thing. But for me, because I've had to become so, you know, analytical with all this and track everything and pay attention to it, I always found it very challenging to time that perfect, just the right amount of water, just the right amount of carbohydrates, just to give me that look to where I didn't look all puffy, but I looked filled out. And it was hard to hit that sweet spot. And a lot of times, because my metabolism was roaring, had extremely low body fat percentage, so my body was just powering through calories, and it would. I'd eat a meal, and for maybe a moment, I'd feel a little bit filled out, and then 20 minutes later, and so that's a little stressful when you know you got to hit a stage, and you might be standing behind stage for an hour, hour and a half before you get up there, which is why you see all these guys popping Skittles and doing stupid shit in the back. Yeah. That's why they're doing all that stuff, is because their body is processing these carbohydrates so fast that they're going in the system, out of their system so quick.
Well, I think that part of that has to do with insulin sensitivity, and you've just made your body so much more effective at using insulin right. to the point where now you're building lots of muscle.
It shuttles it like immediately.
You're strong. Joints are feeling better. You said your skin's better, this and that, and you're eating a third or a fourth of the carbohydrates you're eating before in order to do it, and you feel better. I think it's, when we're talking about the gut, we should talk about inflammation. And here's the thing: you talk about six meals a day. I talk about eating less, you know, less frequently. Here's the thing. Pay attention to this. Pay attention to how eating six meals a day affects your gut, or how eating less frequent meals affects your gut. For me personally, if I eat too frequently, I get gut inflammation. And the science actually confirms that there is a potential for that, for eating too frequently. Now, my theory is that just you're just constantly working. You're constantly throwing food at it.
Yeah.
And so you're not allowing any type of inflammation that happens from eating to subside. Every 2 hours, you're throwing food at it. On the flip side, I could see somebody getting an upset stomach from eating too much at one sitting, and so that could cause inflammation. But gut inflammation, you know, that can come from the type of food you eat. I know every single person listening right now has that food that makes them feel shitty in their stomach afterwards, but they eat it anyway because it's, you know, like, oh, fuck, I'm going to eat pizza, but I'm going to pay for it later. I'm going to get heartburn, or I'm going to get... Let me tell you...
Isn't that crazy we do that?
We do that, but here's the thing I want you Pay attention to this, and think about it. I'm not trying to demonize certain foods. I'm not trying to make you eat like a robot. But when you have that inflammatory reaction, that is an immune reaction. It's not something good, is what I'm trying to say. It's not something normal. It's not like, oh, every time I eat pizza, I get heartburn or I get super gassy.
I get the shits. That's totally normal.
Yeah. What you're doing, no, it's what not. You're doing to your body is you're actually
that
triggering.
Cinnabon always makes me feel bad.
You're triggering a small immune reaction. And now over time, if you continuously trigger this immune reaction, then they become bigger and bigger and bigger. And what'll end up, what sometimes happens, not always, but in many cases, you get this cascading event. Immune reaction where all of a sudden out of nowhere you're like, I used to be able to eat that, now I can't even look at it and it destroys me, now my stomach is so sensitive and I can't. And I see this a lot with people once they hit their 30s and 40s. It's because they didn't pay attention to those things.
Long-term chronic inflammation there.
Dude, think about it this way. If I take a piece of sandpaper and I scratch my leg a little bit with it and it gets a little red, that's an immune reaction. Mm-hmm. Okay, my body is sending inflammatory signals there and chemicals, and
we need to address this.
Certain cells are going there and it's trying to heal. Yeah. Okay, now if I keep rubbing that every single day, just a little bit, it's going to cause a bigger and bigger immune reaction until I break the skin and start to, cause it to bleed. Well, every time you inflame your gut, you're pushing yourself closer to that. And check this out. When the gut, it needs to be a barrier. It has to protect the bloodstream from certain things entering the bloodstream through the gut where it doesn't want them to be entered, okay? If the gut is inflamed, think of the cells of the gut as causing this kind of this gate that will only allow some things to go through and not everything to go through. But now it's inflamed.
It's a little more porous at that point.
It's porous. Yeah. Those cells, there's more space in between them. Mm-hmm. They're less effective at blocking out, quote unquote toxins from entering the bloodstream. And now you get what a lot of health professionals call leaky gut syndrome, which more and more evidence is now pointing to the fact that it actually exists. There's still debate as to whether or not leaky gut syndrome exists, but there's more and more evidence that's coming out almost on a weekly basis on how leaky gut syndrome is indeed a legit situation. And this is from this leaky gut syndrome cause joint pain, skin issues, sleep issues, sex drive issues, issues with depression, anxiety, like so many different things, because these your gut is as permeable and allowing too many things to toxins to go into your blood.
Well, and it just seems to me that if you're already fighting yourself internally, any external force that you're inflaming through just your basic exercise or these could all if you're already fighting something, it's going to amplify everything else to where it's going to become a problem. Whereas it could have been something that's going to promote, a healthy change within your, muscle fibers and whatnot. Now it's turning into more of a situation where it's like an arthritis that I'm going to deal with as a result.
It becomes a systemic problem. And then once you get a strong autoimmune reaction, once you get this big systemic bang, your body becomes very sensitive to it. It's almost like your immune system remembers it. And I will never be as good as I was before I had those horrible symptoms. I am controlled it very well now with diet and with, I supplement with probiotics when I need to. And I know how to, I have a regime that I do. But if I were to just go nuts like I did before, the reaction I would get now would be far worse than the one I had before, and maybe would be impossible to recover from on a natural basis. Mm-hmm. I have someone very close to me with Crohn's disease, and he got Crohn's disease at a young age. Luckily, his mother, very, very smart woman, she's a registered dietitian. She did lots of research because a lot of the treatments for Crohn's are horrible. Now, they're better than the Crohn's many times, but some of the treatments include like low doses of chemo and other types of things to kind of shut down the immune system to stop it from destroying itself. So she didn't want to go that route. So she did lots of research and she went the dietary route. She put them on what's called the carbohydrate specific diet, which eliminates a lot of these triggers and focuses on gut health. Well, the kid made a full recovery. Okay, his Crohn's was almost undetectable at one point. Now, he is a kid. He was a teenager, and he would go out with his friends. And he had to stay on the strict diet. If he stayed on the strict diet, his Crohn's was completely in check. He was totally fine. But of course, you go out with your friends. Mm-hmm. You test it a little bit. I'll have a cookie here. I'll have some pizza here. I'll have a burger here. And he'll get a small reaction. But now he's thinking. He's encouraged. He's thinking, I can get away with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm fine now. I'm healed, right? He kept pushing it, kept pushing it. Things started getting worse. Then he got an infection, so he had to go on antibiotics, which antibiotics just ravage your gut flora.
Right.
Boom, full-blown Crohn's. Worse than what he had before, had to get some of his bowel resected and had to go on some extremely aggressive treatment to control it. And so that's why it's so important to pay attention to these types of things. And people listening right now, especially if you're young, you're like, whatever. I'm going to tell you something right now. The fastest growing diseases in modern world are autoimmune.
Mm-hmm.
Autoimmune diseases are exploding, and those are the ones that we do not have cures for. So you're not going to be able to get it and then fix it. It's fucked.
Something you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah. And so
learning to pay attention to these subtle signs. I mean, your stomach feeling nauseous after you eat. You're having the shits. All these things are headaches, and this is your body trying to tell you stuff and being aware to just ignore it or just think that I just have a headache or must have had something weird. Like, really think about that. Like, when you're messed up like that, your body is trying to send you these signals and pay attention to that. And the worst part, though, like I was saying before, like, what happens, and this happens like fast food eaters, right? Like, so none of us in here eat any junk food, but I guarantee if we said, okay, I'm gonna force myself to eat McDonald's or, you know, fast food 24/7 for the next 7 to 14 days, you know, by day 7 or so, I bet you it goes down just fine. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, exactly.
Day one,
adapt to it.
Yes, day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, not so fun. Yeah. Day 7, hey, this ain't so bad. I can do this.
What happens at that point, because you have the immediate reaction, but then what you have is you have kind of under the surface small doses of inflammation, and you don't get away with it for very long. I know you guys were the same. When I was a kid, I could eat fucking whatever I wanted, anything. Yeah. Nothing bothered me. Like, this is, kids don't get heartburn for the most part, right? Kids don't get, you know, they can eat whatever they want and it's no big deal. And as adults, all of a sudden you become old. And, you know, now my grandfather, like, his favorite subject to talk about is if he took a good poop or not. This is true, by the way.
Yeah.
If you feel sick, my grandfather's like, did you poop?
Oh, yeah.
It's a big deal. I remember thinking, like, why are old people so concerned about it? Because as you get older, you don't get away with that shit anymore.
Yeah. You got to, like, celebrate.
Exactly. So, that's something you have to think about and be mindful for. And the good news is it actually motivates people to eat healthy from a different angle than just the way they look. Because a lot of times people, you know, think that they can get away with things because they're lean and muscular.
Right.
Really what they're affecting is something, you know, much deeper. But one, I did want to read a quote from Hippocrates. Blows me away that back then they had this understanding of how the body worked, and we're now having the science to confirm it. But one of these quotes that he says, very common, popular one, is all disease begins in the gut. He actually said this as a quote. Isn't that mind-blowing?
That's crazy.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
With that, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Check out our new MAPS aesthetic program at mindpumpmedia.com. It's a pretty rad program. And you can check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, and Justin at Mind Pump Justin.
Stay sexy.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.